Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Stop
up.
It. Pop pass up the middle.
Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15-10. Hit in. For an orange touchdown.
The Bills make me want to shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In. Oh, to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes a catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
You know, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, heard on 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing on the ESPN app, seen, heard, and everything in between, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, at the wonderful, the magical, QSportsTalk.com, a place where you can watch a radio show as it happens. Incredible technology that we have these days, right? I can get on my phone right now and I can order food and they bring it right to me. I can get on this phone right now and I could buy me some FTX stock. I hear they're doing really well these days. I can get on my phone right now and I can gather with other people and talk sports in a very civil place. I heard it's called Twitter. I believe this is the name of this place. So there are many things that you can do on the internet, the magical internet. But they're all topped, my friends, by the great, the wonderful, QSportsTalk.com, where you can watch the show, you can chat throughout the show, you get the show within the show, meaning when the radio audience is in a commercial break, you are not. At QSportsTalk.com, because we keep the mic on, we keep the camera on, we keep talking to you, because we love you that much. So come on by, hang out, no matter where you do, either on the radio or at QSportsTalk.com, because we got a heck of a Monday radio program in store for you. Uncle Brent usually doesn't bring in guests on Monday, unless they're very special. Mondays, we have a lot to say after the weekend, especially football weekends, and we listen into what Dino Babers said at his press conference, and it's usually a nice, tidy show, very structured show, and we kind of go through all the things from the football weekend. But see, this fits, because we are going to have a guest on technically to talk football. It's just more of the football variety. Who says Syracuse is not a football school? Because the Syracuse men's soccer team is going to the NCAA tournament. They defeated Clemson 2-0 in the ACC championship game on Sunday. And today we will talk with their head coach, Ian McIntyre, about that. The men's soccer team getting a 3 seed in the tournament. They get a first round bye. They will play at home pretty much all the way through if they make it to the College Cup at the end here. And boy, what a team. What a season so far, and still could be pretty darn special for Coach McIntyre and company. So we will talk to him about that right here in this hour at 4:25. It's Football Monday. We'll have a football guest on, the head coach of Syracuse men's soccer, Ian McIntyre. Looking forward to that. Certainly some thoughts on the failure of a performance by the Syracuse football team, in this case American football, Saturday at the JMA Wireless Dome against Florida State on Senior Day. So not only will we listen in to some things Dino Babers had to say about that today, we are going to break it out, friends. I told you, this is only something we're going to break out when it feels right, when it feels we've got to maybe lower the tension in the room and address just how ridiculous we, the fans, can get on social media. So Ladies and gentlemen, it brings me great pleasure to announce that 1 hour from now, we will do a dramatic reading of your tweets from the Syracuse-Florida State game on Saturday. We've done it once after a less-than-stellar performance by the basketball team in an exhibition game, and we will break it out now. So look forward to that. I'm sure you'll look forward to that later on in the show. I don't know if I'm looking forward to going through that Bills-Vikings game from yesterday. Rather frustrating performance from your Buffalo Bills. Wild game. Incredible to see, for the second time in a calendar year, the Buffalo Bills were involved in one of the most epic football games I've ever seen. It would just be nice if they would win one of these once in a while. I mean, you go to the Arizona game, you go to the Houston Texans playoff game, Kansas City. Can we win one of these, please? It'd be nice. They actually won an epic game of this nature. So, dramatic reading will be very therapeutic for a lot of you. Hot takes will be very therapeutic for me and the Bills fans out there today. At least the Cowboys lost too last night. I will say that. Okay. All that to come, but of course we start with Syracuse football here momentarily. Let me say this right off the top, though. We certainly join so many out there today just heartbroken to hear the news from Charlottesville, from Virginia, and that football team obviously directly impacted by the shooting at Virginia. Syracuse impacted by that. Dino Babers addressing that today with an opening statement on what happened at Virginia, certainly with Jason Beck and Robert and I on the staff here at Syracuse. They had some heavy hearts. They had some phone calls. They were talking to some people. They had knew these players, and it just was a harsh reminder of life today that affected the football world. Here's what Dino Babers said about it.
I'm sure that you guys all know with all the stuff that's been going on at University of Virginia, my prayers and my thoughts go out to the families out there along with the situation that Coach Elliott has to handle. That is something that affects everyone. It has affected our building. You know, we have coaches that know those players, and they have been, fielding phone calls and stuff like that. So it's a disturbing time. And once again, it puts us back into what's truly important, and, family and football and putting those things in the right perspective. It's a big thing to us.
Yeah, no question about it. You could see at the press conference today, Dino was really affected by it. It's a small brotherhood in football. Your competitors on the field, obviously Syracuse played Virginia earlier this year. Jason Beck and Robert and I come from there. Their families come from there. I saw the wife of Jason Beck, Jamie Beck, who's pretty active on social media, tweet about how her heart was broken today. And we're really thinking about them. It just tears your heart out to hear something like that and everything involved. And certainly our thoughts and prayers are with everybody at Virginia and everybody thinking about them and everybody that knows and loves them down there. That's tough to hear about. And it's an unfortunate reality in the world today, but hits a little harder when it's something that and you've come across, and certainly a personal connection hits home with the members of this coaching staff and those that knew everybody down there at Virginia. And certainly we would send our best to Coach Elliott and that team and everybody in Charlottesville. To start off the show today, as Dino addressed the press conference today. On to the task at hand, football-wise, for this team. I want to see what you got now. I know what I've seen up to this point. I've seen a football team win 6 in a row and then lose 4 in a row. And now the task ahead of Syracuse, even with a bowl game sitting there, no matter what happens. And it's interesting how we have to be careful of what we talk into existence. And maybe we were trying to talk ourselves into this, right? As opposed to setting the bar, setting the standard. Maybe we were talking ourselves into something that wasn't quite as in lockstep as we thought it was. Because before the season began, and football has this set of expectations unlike any sport, because there's so much time in between games, there's so much time to analyze what happens. You spend 6 days discussing the game. They play the game. You spend the next 6 days discussing the next game, and on it goes. There's a certain rhythm and a structure to football, unlike any sport, to kind of set the bar and set the expectation. Not that it doesn't exist in other sports. Like I've always said, the one expectation I have for the basketball team every year is make the tournament, because anything can happen when you make the tournament and you go from there, right? Well, everybody agreed. Not that it was 100% across the board, but I felt like I certainly had enough votes to call the race that if Syracuse went to a bowl game, everybody's good with that. That is a sign of progress. That's the step forward they did not achieve last year. And you can't make wholesale changes if, in fact, that's what happens. Historically, that has happened. In 2004, Syracuse went to a bowl game, got rocked in said bowl game by Georgia Tech in the Champ Sports Bowl. Paul Pasqualoni fired at halftime of that game, not officially, but essentially the decision was made then. And then Syracuse jumped into the coaching race about a month later than you should. And on we went, and maybe still feeling the residual effects of that, no matter what your feeling was on the decision, and I was all for it. Certainly on the record for that. One can make the case that here we are in 2022, still feeling the effects of that decision, because it's a really big decision. So for those that have been lying in wait, and they were really quiet through the 6-0 start, but with this team having lost four straight, with this team having not scored a touchdown in back-to-back games, the first time that's happened, by the way, since 1994. Syracuse finished 1994, by the way, losing 3 of 4 games and not scoring a touchdown in those games. All three phases of the game dominated. You watched it. You don't need me to rehash it for you. You saw what happened. So that prenuptial agreement everybody made before the season, like, we're good, bowl game. But it doesn't feel like that today, right? Now, there are 2 games to go in this season, which is where my head's at, because I'm curious to see what this team's got now. Because they're playing 2 teams here to avoid history, to defy a trend that is going to put John Wildhack in a very uncomfortable position if, in fact, Syracuse loses out. Because only twice has a team started 6-0 and then lost 6 straight in the modern era, from what we could find, from what we could see. There might be another team or two out there, but Ron Zook in Illinois did this in 2011. This very thing that Syracuse is 2 more losses away from attaining, the mark no one wants. 1-6, lost 6, Zook was fired, even though that team made a bowl game. 2016, Baylor, a place where Dino Babers has coached before, obviously, Jim Grobe takes over, and that was kind of a weird transition time from the Art Briles situation. It was prior to Matt Rhule taking over at Baylor, who had a very successful run there, ended up in the NFL. He got fired by Carolina, but he was kind of on the rise at that moment, had a great run at Temple, and is still regarded as a great college coach. So in between that, Jim Grobe comes in and Baylor starts 6-0. They finish 6-6. They lost 6 in a row to get there. Now, there was probably going to be a situation where a new coach was going to come in anyway, but the bowl bid did not, you know, prevent that situation from happening. So I don't think John Wildhack wants to be the first coach to try and explain that one. A team that won 6 in a row to start, lost 6, and you're retaining that coach for the next year, even though that was what everybody agreed to. Nobody said what order it would go in. They won 6 in a row, but see, losing 6, if they get there, and they have 2 games to avoid that mark, 7-5, or if they can somehow turn this thing around and get to 8-4, it will not be forgotten, but it will be forgiven. Because you turned it around, you found a way to win another 2, and then we'll see if they can win the bowl game, whatever it shall be. It will be remembered, it will be noted, because there's already part of the season lost there, because the biggest teams on the marquee you lost to. You lost to Clemson, had that game. We all know what happened on the sideline there. That just seems to be like the red flag moment planted there that has put a hex on this football team. But they lost that game and then lost to Notre Dame. And the way that they have lost, and I think this is important to note, the way they have lost to Pitt and now Florida State is what is just regenerating some of that conversation about Babers, is irking the fan base. And as much as you're irked, it is times 10 how much those players and that coaching staff is affected by it. I mean, I think that needs to be said. as pissed off as you are, and you're going to find out in the dramatic reading of tweets we'll have later in the show, times that by 10, and that's how those players feel right now. But it's still fair to say, well, what do you do about it now? Look at Wake Forest, for example. Wake Forest started 6-1. They were in the poll, looking good. They have gone into a bit of a slide themselves, yet gave Drake May and North Carolina all they could handle in a 2-point loss. Boston College has the 120th rated offense in the country. They are down to their second quarterback. Their offensive line's a bigger mess than Syracuse's, believe it or not, who can't block a darn thing right now. They go out and beat NC State on Saturday. They found a way to get around their issues, which is now what Syracuse has to do with a hurt quarterback, as we understand. But as we said, an offensive line that can't block, a defense that's given up 930 rushing yards in this four-game losing streak. Special teams falling apart all of a sudden. And God bless Trevor Pena, made a terrible decision to get the fair catch and what that leads to. Those decisions, those plays that are made in an instant. It's easy for me, it's easy for you to analyze this stuff and play Monday morning quarterback here in the afternoon. In the moment, though, you've got to know, let the ball hit the ground and take a chance on that thing rolling out for a touchback. Could have made a huge difference there. None of that seems to be lining up for this team. Every decision seems to be wrong. They can't find a way. So what steps can be made? What can they do? Dino Babber said it on Saturday. He came in, he took responsibility, and said it's got to change.
We're extremely disappointed in the locker room that we couldn't send the seniors off and our juniors that are declaring the right way. It really bothers a lot of people, and it bothers our family a great deal. The senior walk is something that we take a lot of pride in, and we try to send those guys out the right way. I did not get an opportunity, and I never get an opportunity to see how it goes. I really hope that the fans and the alumni and the student body of the JMA got an opportunity to say goodbye to some fantastic cats. I mean, guys that have gotten blood, sweat, bones, ligaments, injuries. These guys have given a lot to the Orange, and my heart really bleeds for them. We have 3 more games left, 1 game at a time. The performance out there today, you have to put that on me. I take responsibility for that, full responsibility, and it was not good enough.
I'm not interested in what you say. I'm interested in what you do. How do you respond to this? How do you find some kind of charge in your offense? What, and I asked Dino this directly, we'll play back the clips later, what can you do differently at this point of the year? Can you start to incorporate LaQuint Allen with Sean Tucker? And I have nothing against Sean Tucker, but what you're doing is not working, especially in the last 2 games. And I know your quarterback's hurt, but does that mean you put the other quarterback in? Do you really feel like you're walking away from these games thinking that Syracuse did all they could do offensively, defensively, on special teams? I mean, they got absolutely throttled on senior night. Feels like once or twice a year that happens, but there's something about the month of November where it just happens more. When everybody's dealing with attrition, everybody's dealing with lack of depth, this team falters time after time. Dino Babers has not coached a win in this month since 2019. There's just some kind of hex on this team that takes place in November, and I can't quite figure it out why things just wilt and fall apart at the end of the season. There's some easy answers to that, depth and, you know, like we said, injuries, war of attrition, those kind of things. But what do you have to turn it around? To prove me wrong, to prove everybody wrong, and to avoid history, to avoid what would be one of the biggest asterisks in the 133-year history of Syracuse football. Yep, you went to a bowl game. Yep, you took a step forward from last year. But you also lost 6 in a row to finish the season. That's what they're trying to avoid, and have 2 games, starting with Wake Forest on Saturday, who actually presents the opposite problem as most teams. Syracuse can't stop the run. Now they got a quarterback coming in that can sling it with the best of them. So, I don't know, maybe that'll be a welcome change. But without Garrett Williams out there and with the issues the defense has overall, let's not rob Peter to pay Paul. This is a defense that's still struggling top to bottom. It's just the run that happens to have the spotlight right now. Sam Hartman's going to highlight maybe some other issues this defense is having. Or they can just go out there Saturday night and prove us all wrong. That there is something still left in this team. That a four-game slide happened, and there's nothing you can do to take that away. But they won a game, perhaps win two games, to ease the tension that is there. And still salvage something. Because 6-6 as it stands is kind of a blah year. 6-6 is like, okay, yeah, well, I went to a bowl game. That's great. What you don't want to make is 6-6 stand out like a sore thumb. When's the last time a 6-6 season stood out at all? They're usually just boring, run-of-the-mill, go-to-an-average bowl game type of years. This will be the sorest thumb that ever sticks out at 6-6 if you lose out and that's what you get out of it. So what do you got to turn it around? I'm as curious as anybody what you can do different, what this team has within it, how they can play better, how they can find something to win these last two games. Because I look around and I see teams that are finding a way despite the flaws that they have. When I look at Syracuse, I see a team that's losing its way. And on that note, we will break. We will come back. We will continue a conversation in the world of football, but a much different football conversation. A team that just made the NCAA tournament, just won the ACC championship, having one of its best years in its history, certainly since 2015 when they made a deep run in the tournament. As a 6 seed then, they're a 3 seed now, and their head coach, Ian McIntyre, is going to join us in a few minutes to discuss it all. Looking forward to that.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back, friends. Great to have you here. You're On the Block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. Presented by our friends at Burdick BMW. You know, the Lights on the Lake is underway. It was snowing today, right? It was snowing this weekend. Very appropriate to get back out there and make sure you stop out to Lights on the Lake for Fidelis Care Charity Night. You can drive through for just $5 and all proceeds will benefit the CNY Diaper Bank. Visitors are also encouraged to bring diapers to be donated to the CNY Diaper Bank. Plus the first 1,000 vehicles through Lights on the Lake, you get a $5 Dunkin' gift card. And every vehicle passing through gets a $10 car wash from Delta Sonic. That's clutch. Come on, free car wash. Let's go. Lights on the Lake, it is back. LightsOnTheLake.com for all your information. Pick your date and go, and you do have to get tickets ahead of time, friends. No ticket sales at the gate. LightsOnTheLake.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a couple weeks ago, following a rather dramatic win, it was a victory by the Syracuse men's basketball team in exhibition play. We did a dramatic reading of your tweets from that game. I felt like it was so dramatic for the first basketball game of the year with a lot of freshmen and just a lot of things built in that maybe you laid it on a little thick. I said, let's have some fun with this. We'll do a dramatic reading of these tweets. Ease attention a little bit here. It's only one game. Let's everybody just calm down here. And a segment was born. And I said then, we can't do this. Like people, oh, you got to do that more. You got to do it once a week. You got to do it after every game. And I said, no, we will do this when it feels right. Right? Sometimes as an actor, I have to be inspired. And I was inspired from a dark, dark place on Saturday. Reading your tweets. See, I'm getting into character. Reading your tweets from the Orange's 38-3 loss to the Seminoles of Florida State and their war chant that they brought. Oh. 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 Still ringing in my head like that time I performed Hamlet in the Park 3 years ago. So without further ado, I brought a friend. I don't have a skull like when I performed community theater in Hamlet, the Auburn Park 3 years ago, but I brought a friend with me here. Here we go. At Coach 31B. Forehead smack emoji. At DBone75. So many great players that will be leaving this team at season's end. Go along with the team currently having the 80th ranked recruiting class for 2023. The team's future, it's not looking solid. Some other players on that field looked beat down. At GWATX, have the Robert and I nicknames been rolling in? Like, Robert are not good enough? Like, Robert are nigh off the bandwagon? Robert are nigh no game plan? At Boston Guy, 1970. It's the SU football team we all expected. It just arrived late. With a few aberrations here and there, the story for the last 20 years. However, late 80s/90s. This was a great program. Need a new coach and commitment to winning. At J. Robot Jr., if Syracuse wants to even pretend to care about football, then IDK! IDK! How Dino can still be coach next year? Doesn't appear the players are interested in fighting anymore. IDK! At D. Farosini, I know the media eats it up for some reason, but I'm in a small minority that thinks him posting his stats after each game is not a good look. How dare you say that about Sean Tucker, sir? I will find you, I will hunt you down, and you will eat those words. At Crow324, I am old enough to remember days when Syracuse was 6-0. I remember. At Ryan Mullen won last year. Fire Dino this year. OMG, Cuse is 6-0. We're going to a bowl game. Cuse is 6-4. Fire Dino! Shaking my head at Cuse fans. At Dome Trough, you coward, not calling T.O. and fighting for those kids to score at the end of the game. Shameful. At BXQs96, Syracuse is the FTX of college football. At Pleason388109 63, the real question is why the coaching staff thought Traitor was good to go today. At Bark Money, bro, hasn't looked good in 3 games. I've been saying it all along. Carlos is better, but Dino is going to be loyal to Schrader. At Sal 7864, you know it's bad when the war chant could be heard loud and clear. The second half Oh. Oh. At QSKID 79. I got the poo on me GIF. I got the poo on me GIF. I got the poo on me GIF. At QSKID 79 again. Floating dumpster on fire. GIF. Floating dumpster on fire. GIF. Floating dumpster on fire. GIF. At Velocigrantor, man smoking GIF. Man smoking GIF. At Mike Callis 77. I am predicting a 6-6 Syracuse team takes on 8-4 Illinois, led by Tommy DeVito. In the pinstripe bowl at Revis 96. That kid is still on the escalator. At Jimmy Hines. Seniors should be sick to their stomach. At George King 26, this looks like a Greg Robinson kind of team. How dare you invoke the name of the Dark Lord? How dare you, sir? At Robbie Rob 88, this football team has ruined Thanksgiving worse than Marie Callender's did last year. At SU Valdala, I am going to painfully watch this game again. Again. Again.